Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yo, son! One app is life.
It's not the one you should be underestimating.
Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness.
We rap nerd now here, right?
Like, I can tell you were a nerd.
It's primal.
And that's raw.
Carhartt girl.
Speaking of sneaky big tits.
Are you out there fucking?
I'm doing that.
Years ago, I bought a millionaire Griffin. This was years ago, bro. Years ago.
Cypher Sounds. Peter Rosenberg. One app is life.
Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night. Hello. Hi.
And welcome to the big show, everyone. Yours truly, Peter Rosenberg, Cypher Sounds, our producer, Billy G. Billy.
Billy, I wanted to talk to you about something. Billy.
Where are you, Billy? Yo, Billy has been like intentionally, clearly trying to work hard and like make the clips better and like is clearly making an effort to try to do a better job.
Yeah.
And still, at least as of this moment, appears to have, for like the second or third time in the last 4 or 5 weeks, slept through the show.
And also, you had to say, there's obviously a group chat text sure. chain. And Billy, last night, hey, what time are we recording? What's going on?
No, he was the one on top of it. Oh, are we good for tomorrow? What's the plan?
You know what I mean?
So, fortunately. So, I'll sit there for like 10 minutes and nothing is happening. And then I'm like, wait a second. I'm definitely awake and sitting here. And Sife is definitely awake and sitting there. What are we doing? We should start the podcast. So, big shout out to everyone who enjoyed last week. I went inside the Patreon, the behind the scenes site to see what's going on in that account. I just wanted to like look at what's going on. Mm-hmm. There are like 100 and some patrons that are signed up for free, which gets them nothing. I don't know why they're there. But like it's just an annoying thing that sort of inflates the number a bit. But they're not; they get nothing. They get nothing from the Patreon. And then, of course, we have different pay tiers that get you the same thing.
But it's not supposed to be that. No. It's supposed to be one. We decide one tier, right? One price.
It should be one tier. So
wait, there's what'd you say? I thought you were talking about Discord. I'm sorry, Patreon. There's 100 that get what for free?
Nothing. They're just signed up. It's just they're free members, but there's no, they don't get access to any of the things that Patreon gives
them. Oh, I see. Okay, I got it.
So I don't know what the purpose of it is. So I would love to get everything organized in there. I'm working on it. But at the same time, regardless of which tier you're on, we appreciate that you're enjoying all the bonus episodes. And if for some reason you only listen to our free episodes, while we appreciate you, we like you slightly less than those who are forking over the cash to get that extra one epiroo every week. You know what I mean? They get to hear the real, the inside, whatever. They talk turkey. You know what I mean? A lot going on right now. A lot happening in the world, Sife. Hey, Sife,
in hip hop world, one up world, just like a gen.
All world.
Yeah.
Any chance you happen to be around, let's just do some scheduling here on the show.
Okay.
Next week, March 4th, 5th, or 6th, do you have any time?
March. Let me get my little trusty calendar.
You happen to have 4th,
5th.
Or 6th.
Or 6th.
You have any time in those?
4th and 5th, I'm around.
Like if we had a dope guest, you could make it, we could find a time. What would be better if I tried for the daytime or the nighttime? Because there's someone we would definitely enjoy. If we could get them to say yes, there's someone in town that you would definitely go, yep, I want to go do that.
It would have to be daytime.
Daytime. All right, I'm going to see what I can do. I'm going to see if I can make it happen. Do you have a preference between the 4th? What day is the week of that? Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday?
The Tuesday, the 5th would be the preference.
All right, me too. I'm going to go for Tuesday, the 5th. Let's go for it. I'm going to make it.
Okay.
I hope we can make it happen. So, what's happening in your? I saw Saif. I saw you. I like the location you have of that delightful Monster Energy beverage. I saw you and your anti-cancelers were reveling this weekend. The big Shane Gillis, SNL.
Yeah, I still didn't get to see it. I saw some of the sketches. I didn't see the monologue, but yeah, I was posting for my brother Shane.
Everyone was happy for Shane Gillis.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
The monologue was interesting. It's like I see there's some controversy because some people say he bombed and some people say he didn't bomb. And it's a very unique monologue. That is for sure. His energy in it, does he have a sort of intentionally awkward energy a lot, or was he
Yeah. It's like his style. I wouldn't use the word awkward, but it's definitely like, he always seems like he's working it out right there.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yes. So that.
Yeah,
so,
that's his style.
And does he hold the mic like a little kid holding a drink?
Yes, that's how he always holds the mic.
So all of that. What I was thinking, I was like, yeah, this is a little different, but I don't know what his style is, so I can't say what this is exactly.
He's a very funny comedian.
What are you? I don't know.
I don't know what. I don't know where they're, what category or what style. He goes on stage, he grabs a microphone, and then he tells jokes.
Yeah, but you're oversimplifying it, because the truth is people, okay, for example, I always loved Stephen Wright, right?
Yeah.
But if you never watched Stephen Wright and he showed up at Sife's, at your old show on 14th Street?
Yeah.
It would have taken people a while, if at all, to where they would have been, I get what this guy's doing.
Whether they get it or not is not take away from what he's doing. He's going on stage, grabbing a mic, telling jokes.
Right, but no.
Do you think he has a different intention?
No. But in terms of the audience then saying whether they think it's funny or not, you might not think it's funny. You might go like, I don't get it.
That's with any person who goes on stage and tells jokes. What do you think? You think there's like a regular batch of comedians that everyone says is funny, and then there's this strange batch? I go on stage and tell jokes, and some people don't get me. I'm not trying to do a different style. I might have a naturally different style. I don't think Stephen Wright is intentionally trying to write weird. I mean, he does have a very unique writing style.
It's very specific.
But I wouldn't put it. He doesn't have a certain category of like, oh, well,
he like intentionally spent a lot of time talking about how he was doing in the monologue. So that's also in there. So that fed the conversation. You probably weren't even checked into this conversation, but Wait, Sai's putting him on hold. Yes. Oh, he not only put me on audio hold, he put me on visual hold right there. So now I'm just looking at a blank screen. So if you didn't notice it, there was this whole like back and forth online, and it ends up being a political conversation because the anti-cancelers, the ones who are super like everyone's getting canceled. I had people literally tweet to me Like they were rubbing it in my face that Shane Gillis was on SNL. As if that would bother me. I would be upset. Sorry. Like, as a progressive person, people sent me the Shane Gillis monologue. Like, look, fuck you, man. Shane Gillis is on SNL. And I'm like, why would you think I would?
Yeah, but even he wouldn't do that, though.
No, not at all. No, no, no. He's ended up being a representation for people that he did not set out to be, I'm sure, representation for.
No. Shane Gillis. Well, let me tell you about Shane Gillis. He's a comedian that goes on stage.
Go ahead.
And tells jokes. So, now.
Keep going.
That being said, people have made him some kind of martyr, poster boy. Those people give him money to go on stage and tell jokes. And he goes, hey.
Thanks.
I'll take that money. No way. Is he Pennsylvania regular guy, which might fall into some Trumpiness? Yes. Is he a hardcore conservative Trump supporter? No.
Right. He definitely did a skit making fun of Trump, for sure.
His Trump impressions are great.
Right.
Would he vote for Trump over Biden? I think so.
But you're not sure even.
I'm not even sure.
Right.
I think so. His dad would, for sure.
But he makes fun of his dad.
Yes. But right. also loves his dad.
Right. So you're saying he's not one specific political thing. He's a guy.
I've had nothing but great times hanging out with Shane Gillis. Nothing but. Always.
So there were people out there who were like literally throwing it in the face of people like me as if I would be upset that Shane Gillis was hosting SNL. So I was like, oh, I forgot that's tonight. So I went and watched it. I will say this about it.
Well, I just want to say one more thing before you get into SNL. Shane is a hip-hop head. He could sit here and rap hip-hop with us all day.
God, that does make the political part always interesting to me. It's always an interesting conversation.
All day, bro. I'm sure when we were on tour with Bert Kreischer, he definitely drunk.
Wait, you went on tour with Bert Kreischer?
I was in the summer, last summer. Wow. And Shane was on some of those. He definitely was yelling out, drunk, play Freebird, which he's doing a bit.
But he's doing a bit, right? He's making fun of white people.
But I saw him at the Run the Jewels concert, and I didn't get him tickets. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He was in the same backstage area I was in.
Right.
So go ahead. I'm sorry. So SNL.
No. So his SNL monologue was, I thought, really interesting. Remove him specifically from it, right? Like his whole story that he was on SNL. They found some wild shit that he said on a podcast back in the day. It was at a time when people were very aggressive about that stuff.
It was actually the beginning.
Right. It was the start of it, right?
It was he got caught up right in the beginning of what we're calling, I guess, the Me Too
cancel culture moment.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, he was one of those casualties. See, these conversations are so deep that, like, to the people who are like screaming about it, see, they don't get it. Like, we have to understand, when places were getting sensitive and scared of getting in trouble, they weren't going to take a risk for someone who had literally, they just hired, who was nobody to them. Hank, you're gone. That's it. There's not like, it's not as if he was some successful part of SNL and they were like, yo, we got to let you go. They probably didn't even hesitate that long.
No. Lorne Michael loves Shane Gillis.
So he did have. So he did hesitate because he thought he was that talented.
And I know some inside stuff. I'll tell
you. I love it.
Lorne Michaels was looking for that kind of guy. Here's something missing from SNL. Regular American guy. Maybe, like, probably, definitely parents lean conservative. Maybe has some conservative views, but also liberal. Like, just a regular guy. Not, like, hard left or hard right.
Right.
A middle American guy from Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, obviously, is a weird political state where all the candidates always got to focus on. It's the state that Trump didn't win but should have won, right? All that shit.
Right.
Lorne Michaels he's like, damn, we need, everything kind of leans a certain way on the show. We need like another voice to make this variety show more variety.
Right.
Get Shane Gillis, sees him at JFL.
Just for Laughs Comedy Festival.
Just for Laughs Comedy Festival. Boom, boom, boom. They figure it out. They give him an audition. He does. He goes. His audition was standing on stage, telling jokes.
Okay.
He gets it, and then all shit fucking goes haywire. Lorne Michaels fought for him as long as he could. You always say, like, I'm always, like, anti-woke, whatever you call me sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
The woke at that moment in time mm-hmm. actually beat Lorne Michaels, who's one of the most powerful TV and entertainment guys in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And it got him. And I think from what the little pieces that I hear from Michael Che, Shane Gillis, Rosebud, people that I know at SNL, like, he regretted it. He regretted it. Lorne Michaels regretted that he let the
moment, like the masses, sort of big public moment,
push him down. He regrets it. And by the way, he's still cool with Shane.
Evidently so.
Yeah.
But like, and by the way, you know, progressive as I am, and I certainly am, I do think there's room if Lorne Michaels had said, hey, we're going to have this guy on the show. Oh, hey, this clip came out. We don't like that he said this. You know, guy says statement like, yeah, that joke was not, that's not what I'm about, blah, blah, blah. And you could have tried to move on. But at that time, people felt such, I guess, immense fear.
But it was internal.
Oh, he's
got pushed internally.
He's dealing with an internal thing. Okay, so anyways. Yeah. All that stuff is happening, and he ends up then playing this. Now he represents something to people because now he's been so successful on his own as a comic, in part because people supported him after that. It was a factor, right? It increased his popularity, no?
Yes. Yes.
So then when he gets on stage for this monologue, it was a really interesting experiment to me because remove all the things we just said, even though he did include that in the monologue, and it was funny. He said, I worked here once for a second. I was fired. Please don't Google it, yeah. Which I thought was very funny. But beyond the specifics of Shane Gillis, what I thought was interesting was for me.
The monologue?
Yes, in the monologue.
Okay, yes.
Was just to listen to his jokes that were not incredibly PC. I'm framing it that way because the truth is, he did not make jokes that were offensive to me by nature. Like, I'm not a sensitive type.
Yeah.
I'm a big liberal. I'm a big anti-racism, anti-being mean to groups type. But I'm not sensitive to all jokes that are made that include groups.
Yeah.
So I found it interesting
to
myself.
He didn't do that. What are you saying?
He did make jokes about groups.
Yes.
Right? And he even pointed out, he's like, I'm sorry, I literally have like no jokes that are good for TV, right? Thank you, babe. He literally said that. And I'm thinking to myself, I felt myself because of where the culture has gone. And you know I'm not the biggest believer in, quote, cancel culture, that it's a real serious thing. But we have changed. And I realized that in the moment because I felt myself tensing up to jokes that I'm like, I got no issue with this joke. This is funny. This is a funny joke. He is not, like, harping on one thing and trying to be nasty. He's literally just being funny and talking about different cultural groups. And I thought it was a really interesting experiment to feel myself.
What do you mean? The experiment to who? Who did the experiment?
It kind of was an experiment because SNL was saying, like, hey, we're going to allow in 2024, we're going to have a white comic get on stage and just kind of make jokes about everybody. That hasn't really been done that often on free TV. In this era.
Louis C.K., any stand-up that does SNL does that.
What, does Louis C.K. still do SNL?
I'm saying when he did.
I mean, guess what that was? Before this.
Yeah, but
This isn't, I'm telling you, listen, I'm not saying they did it as an experiment. I'm saying for me, I just noticed in myself, wow, I have sort of changed and then I'm getting tightened up about something that I was watching. I'm like, but I find this funny. Why am I getting tightened up by it?
Oh, man, this is, okay, this is very deep today. I don't know where we're going.
I mean, it's not that
all deep. All of that coincides with my strong opinions about following the masses and doing what the fucking proverbial man tells you to do.
Right.
Celebrating holidays.
Yes.
Going, you know, following political views, picking a side. It's a comedy show where they do comedy. Anybody looking at SNL for their political stance or beliefs is un-PC, about to be spoken, retarded. You don't look at comedy shows to fuel or fucking push your political narrative or agenda. Jokes are taking something that we all know and saying something different about it that's a bit shocking to make your body go, So, in the comedy world, it's a thing in stand-up comedy. It's something's happening lately where they're just letting stand-up comedians host SNL. Shane Gillis is not promoting a movie. He's not on a new TV show. He doesn't have a book out.
He's not
running for anything. He's a comedian that, yes, him personally had something going on at SNL, and this is kind of like a, I don't, who knows? I mean, the same thing happened with Norm MacDonald. Same thing happened when people have beef with SNL, or they were used to be on SNL, and then they host SNL. Will Ferrell, whoever.
Right.
But in the comedy world, where everyone's like, oh shit, comedy's so big right now, you can literally just go on nationwide TV and do a set. It's almost like a little mini 12-minute special.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go play the SNL game, which is being in sketches or being on Weekend Update or whatever it is. But in the first 12 minutes, you get to just run a little mini special, a little a same thing you would do on Jimmy Fallon, but instead of 4 minutes, you get 10 minutes or maybe even 12 minutes.
Right.
So all this, the media is just looking for a story. They just want a story. Nate Bargatze hosted SNL. He didn't have nothing out, except he's a clean, almost Christian comic. Almost. Nate Bargatze is a clean comic.
Well, so I'm glad you're pointing this out, though, because the one thought I did have, regardless of, because I thought the sketches were actually pretty damn good on Saturday, but I did think, I was like, yo, has SNL like ran out of stars? Has Hollywood out of stars?
No, I think they see that stand-up comedy is huge right now, where a stand-up comedian can fill arenas more than some musical acts.
Yeah, and it is kind of a downtime for stars, let's be honest. Like, Hollywood stars, Sife, you and I could play a game right now of we pulled up Hollywood stars and quiz each other and not know who anyone was.
But exactly, and also you got to remember, the writer's strike fucked everything up. So, yeah, the writer's strike's over. So
right.
But they got to go make the stuff.
Right.
The first couple of weeks of SNL back from the writer's strike was comedians. Nate Bargatze, John Mulaney. There was another one. I forget.
So it was like the fourth comic maybe this season.
Maybe, yeah.
And there may be seasons.
And Shane Gillis is not doing arenas. But, like, you gotta notice that this guy.
What size room does he do?
I'm not even sure. He's probably up to theaters. He's probably up to 3,000 to 5,000.
Hmm.
But Mark Norman does that. But Mark Norman didn't have the SNL.
It is just a weird
controversy.
It is just a weird period where, like, there are so many comedians who, if you're not into the comedy world, you don't have any idea who they are.
Yeah, but then you have, if you're in TikTok, you know who Matt Rife is. Matt Rife is the biggest comedian in the world. $18 million Live Nation deal, sold out tour.
Off TikTok mostly.
Yeah. So I don't have no problem with Matt Rife. I actually know Matt Rife. Cool kid. I'd rather see Shane Gillis host SNL than Matt Rife.
Well, Shane Gillis is a much more, he's a more respected comic, no?
The problem is.
In the comedy world.
Here's the problem. Here's the real problem. Saturday, March 2nd, I'm going to be at Teehee's Comedy Club out in Des Moines, Iowa.
Oh, Teehee's.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to be at Teehee's. You know Teehee's in Des Moines, Iowa?
I've never been, but I've heard nothing but good things.
Hello? Are you frozen? Am I frozen? Who's frozen? Somebody's frozen here.
What happened?
Yellow.
No. The internet, we just got canceled.
Yep.
Did Saif and I just get canceled? The video just disappeared. Oh, wait, Saif, we're back. What were you saying about Des Moines, Iowa? It shut down my whole internet. Apparently, someone heard it and shut the whole thing down.
Sorry. I'm going to be in Des Moines, Iowa. I'm at Teehee's. On March 2nd. Two shows. Just one day, two shows Saturday over at the Teehee's Comedy Club in Des Moines, Iowa. Come check it out. After that, the 14th of March, I will be at the Levity Live in Ontario, California. The 15th, I'll be at the Mic Drop Comedy Club in San Diego.
Hello.
Can't wait for that. That's going to be fun. Going to get me some beach bitches. And then Dayton, Kentucky, which is right outside of Cincinnati. Not Dayton, Ohio. Dayton, Kentucky.
What is going on here?
What happened?
Well, Rocky's making insane sounds. But no, there's the places that you're going.
I'm going to Dayton, Kentucky, March 29th and 30th. That's right. If there's a room with a mic where people like to hear jokes, I want to go there.
Let me tell you something right now. You guys, you comedians.
Yeah.
Y'all are
Not all. What are you about to say?
A real working comedians.
Yeah.
Y'all are like, you're sick.
Why is that sick?
You're just like the addicted, the fiend, the
This is my job. This is my job.
Stop. It's beyond job.
How?
It's beyond job.
How?
Because y'all will get up in a room for a dollar and some envelopes just to get up there and hit the vein. Not that fucking.
No. In New York, maybe. In New York, because.
Okay. But still, that still counts.
No, but it's how do you work out jokes? You need a crowd. There's no other way to work out jokes.
So it's just working out jokes. It's not because you just need that feeling of being up on that stage. Because that's
what
you're live.
What you talking about practice?
You going Iverson?
About practice? When you go to a club for free or do a guest spot, it's practice. It's the gym.
There are people who are into the gym. A lot of people cannot... They're in a bad mood, and you can't even talk to them if they didn't get to the gym that day.
Okay, so then are you also making fun of them?
I don't do a podcast. Why would I do a podcast with someone who's obsessed with the gym? It sounds horrible. But yeah, I definitely would be like, all right, bro, you guys, man. I mean,
I don't understand. I go where people say, hey, would you like to come here, tell jokes for people, and make money? I would love to. Thank you. Because because it's not Chicago, New York, LA.
Oh no, not even really. You're thinking specifically about those dates. No, those I understand. You're taking, you're going to do dates where you're getting paid gigs.
Yeah,
I'm saying when you get back from those paid gigs.
Yeah,
and they're like, hey, you want to go lay your head down tonight and rest for an hour? And you're like,
yeah,
right after I get back from the cellar. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, so I went to Chicago last April.
All right,
Zany's. Zany's was very good. Sure. I went to Zany's this last weekend.
Sure you
it
did.
Was fucking great.
Right.
So I'm supposed to just do the same jokes I did last year, or should I be working on it throughout the year?
I guess you got to just keep working on it throughout the year.
Should I come with some new shit?
I would presume. But like, yeah. I was talking to Sam Roberts the other day about comedians, about Jim Norton, for people who don't know, my friend Sam does a show with Jim every day on Sirius. And the conversation was something along the lines of him. He was talking to Jim about Jim moving, like the idea of Jim moving. It was like, I got to be near the cellar. I got to be down the street from the cellar. I got to be able to pop right in. and I just made me laugh.
He only does one show a night at the Cellar, if that.
How many nights?
Weekdays, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
But that's
Jim Norton. Jim Norton, or maybe sometimes he does two. Jim Norton is always second on the 7:30 show and the 8 o'clock show. He's always second, and then that's it. He goes home.
But that's a lot. You don't think that's a lot?
No. Two spots a night at the Cellar?
But Jim's like a pretty... Jim's established already. Like, Jim could also just wait and you think...
Seinfeld goes up on the weekdays. There's no other way to work out jokes. You can't write a joke on your fucking yellow notepad and then just say it at the fucking theater. You can't be like, hey, I got it. I mean, you can.
Right.
You can. And sometimes... Sometimes you do. Sometimes something comes to you on the spot. But how do you work these fucking, you got to get this word in hit right. You got to move it. Oh, I should have said your mama. You know what I mean? You got to write your mama. You got to write, like, bend it over.
That's why it took so long to get the women be shopping. Women be shopping. You know, at first they were like, do you ever notice how women love to shop? And it was like, this isn't
Boo.
All right. Do you ever notice that women are always shopping?
Yo, follow Mark Norman. Okay. What you're saying
is
Mark Norman. It's Mark Norman.
He's got a problem, you're saying.
A problem. An absolute junkie, validation, five shows a night, late to every show, running around. Everyone knows when you book Mark Norman, he's going to kill, but you never know when he's going to show up. Don't put him on the lineup where you think he's going to go. Just hope for him to show up.
Because he's going to be at another show before that, running.
1,000 shows. Jersey City, Queens, Uptown, Downtown, city bikes or motorcycle, zipping around town. But when you go see him on the road, you're getting a phenomenal hour. Phenomenal.
Man. How old is Mark Norman? Do I remember Mark Norman?
Mark Norman's probably, I don't know, I'm going to assume 36 to 38, something like that. Anyway, whatever. Shout out to the Wanup fans that came to Zany's in Chicago.
How many did you get? You get more than one, and were they by themselves?
There's a thing happening. That's what I'm telling you. There's a guy, I'm really sorry I'm forgetting all your names because Zany's is such a small club, and they're getting ready for the next show. It's like, I don't have time to sit there and like, follow you back and talk, like it's like rushing. But these two guys that always came, they came to Rosemont, they came to Zany's last year, they came this year. That guy, he's a Juan Epp, like nutcase fan. Then this other guy, suave little, maybe Puerto Rican, maybe Mexican, little suave, one of them tweed, like a tweed coat, like a three quarter length tweed coat and slick hair, little chain. I was like, who is this young man? He goes, I've been a fan since years ago. Okay, that's the salute. That's the one up salute. You think we come alone? I got 10 with me.
No.
Yo, my man.
No.
My man.
Nah.
I got 10 with me. And it made me realize something. Hey, one up fuck faces. Don't tell your significant others or your friends that you're going to go see some weird Puerto Rican dude from a podcast you like. Just say, hey, let's go check out this dope comedy show.
That's the way to go. I agree with that.
Don't
too.
Hide the fact that I'm on one of your favorite podcasts.
Yeah,
don't even mention it. Yo, I'm celebrating me jerking off 4 times this week. Let's go check out a comedy show.
That's it.
Bam. He goes, yo, he's bragging to me. I got 10 with me. What you going to say? I was like, my man, you won. You won the contest of who brings the most fans. And it's sad that the number is only 10, but you won.
Shout out to him, bro. That's a different level.
Okay, I want to talk lyrics, and I want to talk French Montana.
All right, can I do the intro to the lyrics? Because there's something I want to say, but it relates to your lyrics talk.
Okay. You
want
to do that now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Real quick. I'm going to pull something up here if you're watching on video. If you're not, well, I'm going to read it to you. But It will be useful.
Oh, I met some kid that loves watching our video, our Juan EP videos on YouTube.
He didn't say that.
I swear to God, he did.
Swear to us. Swear.
Swear. Wallahi.
That's wrong. I know I'm doing this all wrong. All right, Saif, you ready?
What if I become Muslim? Is that going to be weird for our podcast?
That'd be for the podcast? No, it'd be weird for you hanging out with your fucking redneck comedian friends. I'll be just fine. All right. Here's what I want to talk about. We've mentioned this before, but it bears repeating. I can't take this fucking conversation about Killer Mike anymore. All right? Mm-hmm. And it's not just kids on the internet. I even saw a video the other day of Gilly had French on. You see that video moving around?
No.
And Gilly was like emotion. You know what Gilly's like when he starts going.
Yeah.
Gilly's doing the whole Gilly thing about we got to give awards to people when they're young and in their prime. And like, I love Gilly to death. I like fundamentally disagree with this concept so much that the people that are inherently deserving are the young. Like, I just don't understand this conversation. And listen, truth be told, you know how clips on the internet are? I don't know if the starting point here was the Killer Mike convo, but it's what it felt like for me. And I've seen so many people having it. So I just want to take a moment with Saif right here. We had this conversation before, but I want to like tie it up nice because I thought about it. I want to know what people are talking about when they look at the categories this year that Killer Mike won it. And tell me what you're so upset about or who the nominee was that was so missed in these categories. Uh-huh. Best rap performance. Killer Mike had a song, you have to remember, with Andre 3000 and
Future.
Oh,
he's good.
Who, Andre, you think?
Oh, and Future.
And Future.
Now, that's very interesting because we all know, I've said this before on the podcast, some people don't know, Future is Dungeon Family. Future is the little cousin of Rico Wade. Future was all up in the studio.
Keep going.
As a little kid.
In what studio?
When Outkast, the Dungeon.
Oh.
The Dungeon. He was all up in the studio. I mean, yeah, he was a little hustler kid selling drugs on the side, but he was in the studio with Big Boy, Andre, Big Rube, Goody Mob. So a lot of Future, although, yes, he's all trap, you can hear the melodic influence. So and then but my point is Killer Mike also comes from a branch of that family.
Yes, he's also a branch. So just real quick, I'm gonna hit the three categories Killer Mike won in, and you tell me where you would be so upset that someone younger didn't win. Best rap performance, Killer Mike won over. Let's rule out people. Love Letter by Black Thought. Let's take Black Thought out because he's the same age as Killer Mike. So we don't even need to have the conversation, right? Like, it doesn't matter. The complaint would have been the same if they gave it to Black Thought. So let's go to the younger artists. Coi Leray, Players. I love Coi Leray. I'm glad she's killing it. She is a great, popular artist who's making records that are moving. We are not going to act as if best rap performance, the rapping on a minute and 40 seconds or whatever Players is of rapping, should have beaten out Scientists and Engineers by Killer Mike. Agree?
Or even the Black Thought.
So let's take out Coi Leray, Players. Great tune, big hit. It wasn't going to win. Rich Flex, Drake and 21 Savage. Love that record. Fun tune. I don't think it's a better rap record than what Killer Mike, Andre 3000, and then we're doing on Scientists and Engineers.
Better club record.
Better club record, absolutely. And also, while we're at it, you know, I got to be honest, is Drake a kid's? Drake's gay. Drake's in his mid to late 30s now. He's not even in the little kid combo.
Drake is in his late 30s.
So then you have the Hillbillies, Baby Keem and Kendrick Lamar. Baby Keem is young, cool. But that's in the same kind of category musically as Scientists and Engineers. You could choose which one you like better. Certainly nothing worth getting upset about one way or the other. And if other things aren't there that you think should be there, do you know that your artist that you love and you're talking about, these young bulls who deserve the chance, do you know that they submitted to win a Grammy? Does anybody know how this works?
The submission part's fucked. Like, yeah.
But you don't know. You just don't know. But like, a lot of young artists aren't thinking about that, so they don't even submit.
Yeah, they think it just happens. No, there's a process to get onto the Grammy list.
Right, and these artists went for it, and maybe your favorite didn't. So, the best rap song, Scientists and Engineers won again. It beat Doja Cat, Attention. Is that what you're screaming about? By the way, Doja's dope to me. I love Doja as a rapper.
Which one is Attention?
I think Attention. It wasn't big. It was like the first one before Paint the Town Red. It didn't quite blow up.
Okay.
I loved it. It was very Rosenberg-y. It was like kind of undergroundy in vibe. Okay. Good tune. Barbie World. Nicki and Ice Spice. Is that what y'all are screaming about that you think should have won? Just Wanna Rock. Uzi Vert. You mean the song that he doesn't rap on? Is that the one? There's not one rap. I like Just Wanna Rock.
So that song has no rap.
There's no rap.
It's not like I'm playing the wrong version.
No, there's no
Not a version out there that exists that I'm like, why do I keep playing this instrumental version? No, this is the song.
The instrumental version is the only version. Babe, are there any words to the song you remember?
No words. It's fire. It gets you hype. But
what's the one thing? They say a thing, though.
They say rah, rah.
I just want to rah, 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 rah.
And body adia. Yeah. Then
I love it. I love it.
The song's amazing. And then again, there's Rich Flex, which again, fun fucking song. It's not the best rap song. So that's the second category Killer Mike has won in that I don't know why people are complaining about. Lastly, best rap album, Michael Killer Mike. Let's take out the Nas King's Disease 3, because guess what? They're the same age. Conversation doesn't matter. So take out Nas.
Your argument is just that they're saying young?
That it should have been, why is it the old guy that's winning? These things should be given to people when they're young.
Killer Mike is old in age, but he's still like kind of, well, I don't know. He's not young and
no,
rap.
I know what you're saying. He came out with his first album, and then there was like a big long gap where like he popped up on features, but he wasn't.
And he did
really
a lot. He did very like super underground albums, like independent releases out the trunk.
No, he did. I definitely interviewed him at my apartment on 86th Street, which would be in like 08. So yeah. Like he was definitely putting shit out, but it wasn't really being consumed in a big way. It's not like people were sick of him, like, oh man, we've been getting Killer Mike albums nonstop forever.
Yeah.
So take out the Nas. Then you have the Drake and 21 album. It was a really fun album, guys. It was a good vibe for a few weeks. I rocked out and had fun. Okay? I did not hear the Metro Boomin album. No disrespect. I didn't hear the album.
That's never going to win anyway.
And that's never going to win.
That's a producer compilation type joint.
Right. It's just not likely to win.
Yeah, it's not going to win.
And then we know Syph has told us many times how much he loves Utopia by Travis Scott.
Love it.
But from a rapping
standpoint. Fiend.
It's a vibe album. Great vibe album. I'm not going to put it in the rap category that Michael by Killer Mike is in. So I just don't understand why people couldn't. Young is not. We need to get out of this headspace that rap is a young man's sport. Do you know why rap was a young man's sport? Because it was created by young people. They were the only people who had ever made it previously.
Yeah. At the time.
Well, we have to stop with this subscribing to the idea that what's dope and cool is only what's young. That's out of here. That's a different era. You were warped to think that way. We were wrong. Like, Syph, you know, my favorite on my white side, my favorite artist maybe ever, as you would know, is Paul Simon.
Yeah.
Paul Simon was considered to be like his masterpiece. His Graceland, he was in his mid-40s when he dropped that. That was his, oh my God, he did it. Then he dropped the next one when he was like close to 50.
Yeah.
And then kept rocking until his mid-70s. All of these people, like all these other genre artists, they kept going. Quincy Jones, Syph, Quincy made Thriller. He was well into his 50s when he was hitting his stride.
Had to be in his 50s, yeah.
So like, can we just stop? Like, it's great.
Yeah, and then what,
we respect it all, but don't just like you shouldn't write off young artists, and I think that's whack, you don't do the opposite.
Yeah, and also, like, do a young awards. Do, like, a rookie awards or something. Like, who's going to, you know what I mean? It's going to, go make a fucking young people awards.
Or it would be cool if they, in the Grammys, if you want to talk Grammys, if they added, like, a new artist by genre, that would be fun. A best new artist in each genre would be fun.
Would they have best new artists?
Overall, there's just best new artists.
Yeah,
by the way, you know who the best new artist was?
Who?
Victoria Monet. Do you know how long Victoria Monet has been around making music? Victoria Monet has been a writer and artist for like a good 10 joints.
Yeah.
So I just got frustrated when I hear people like, nah, we need to give people while they're young but to encourage them. Nah, they're getting encouraged. You know what's encouraging them? The money that they have available to them and all the different platforms that are available to them. And if they make an album good enough, yo, Kendrick wasn't old when he won his best rap album. Kendrick's pretty young. Like, it's not like young guys never win the awards. So why are we hating because Killer Mike won one at 49? Was he 48? 49 years old.
48, I think.
Anyways, all right, I'm done. So now, what did you want to say, Sife, about lyricism?
Okay, so...
This is a deep question.
I was watching one of my favorite things to watch, Vlad TV.
Oh, what a work of art.
Nah, but Vlad always comes up on my TikTok. So Vlad was talking to Aries.
What's your favorite TV show? What TV show are you into these days?
Fargo.
No, Vlad TV.
Oh, Vlad TV.
It's my favorite show.
It's the best TV.
I watched Fargo. Vlad
so
TV.
They were talking about Aries Spears. I'm trying to do my 10,000 steps a day, so I was just walking around Chicago. So mm-hmm. I was just listening. And they were talking about, he was like, oh.
By the way, I want to stop and encourage you. Good for you to walk, try to get those 10,000 steps.
10,000,
I like
maybe.
It. Okay.
So he was like, sorry, he was like, it was about Drake. Drake's not a lyricist. He's like, I'm not a big Drake fan. He's not a lyricist. And Vlad was arguing with him, and then it got into like, well, remember Black Thought did that freestyle. That's a lyricist to me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And then Vlad was like, what about Lil Wayne? And he's like, I'm not really a big Lil Wayne fan. So, like, I think the term lyrics or lyricism is too broad. It when you have these hip-hop conversations, debates that we always have, what exactly is lyrics and lyricism? Because sometimes it's the performance. Sometimes it's delivery. It's not what you say, but how you say. So what is lyrics or lyricism?
It's a great...
Because that's a big umbrella. Question. It has to be chopped down, man. Put some fucking X-Lax in this Coke and chop it down.
Woo! Everyone says, though, everyone always says, like, oh, dope lyricist. What do you mean by dope lyricist? Does it include the rapping skill, or is it just the lyrics that they're saying? And is it the word use?
Yeah.
Is it the stories told? Is it just that each word has meaning?
I know what I like. Like, I love listening to Mos Def, Black Thought, Shane Gillis. But then, like, they say Busta's a lyricist. But are they talking about his delivery style? You know what I mean? Like,
did we wait till too long in the show to talk about the fact that Busta Rhymes supposedly got into a fight last night at a club?
I saw that. What was that about?
Most notably,
guy out.
Yeah, and that when the people write about it, of course, they refer to it as he got into a fight with fellow rapper. And then you're like, wait, who is the rapper he got in a fight with? And the guy's name is Nizzle Man. And you're like,
I literally asked people around me. Maybe I'm old. Does anybody know who Nizzle Man is?
Wait, this happened?
Yeah.
But when you heard about this yesterday while you were out?
Yeah, I saw it on I was in a bar in Chicago, and it was like when it happens, it was like, I don't know, 3 a.m. or whatever. And I go, hey, does anybody know who Nizzle Man is? Because they are dragging this man out of this bus's face.
Yo, the articles say, fellow rapper, Nizzle Man. I went, I don't know if fellow rapper is fair. That's like a kid who ran for student government got into an argument with Obama, and it says fellow politician, Stevie Johnson. You're like, well, I guess they're both politicians. So Bust is an interesting one, because I feel like Busta kind of does everything. Sife, we need to ask, who do we ask this question to? What does lyricist truly mean? Because it really is a matter of taste, right?
I get, but then like, because like, I'm just using this example with Vlad, like whatever, it just sparked my mind into like, yes, what is, because I could see how you love Black Thought, and if that's your style, how you could not love Lil Wayne, but I can never see how Black Thought wouldn't love Lil Wayne. You know what I mean? Is it the type of music you rap on? Because, bro, I have a Lil Wayne playlist that I put together, and every time I play it, I hear shit I never heard. And are you frozen? Oh, okay. No. You look like you're frozen again. I've heard shit I never heard before. He raps like his analogies and fucking comparisons and metaphors are sick. So is that lyrics? Because it's over a trap beat? Is it different than because it's not a soul beat?
That's a
you know,
really...
do we want to put Lil Wayne on a the soul? Does the beat make a difference? But Lil Wayne be saying some fucking shit.
But then he also has songs where he's like really not lyrical. He says the dumbest not lyrical shit ever.
Yeah, like I eat that pussy. Like a song called Eat That Pussy, Eat That Pussy. Eat that
What's
pussy.
It about? What's well hold on, let's think about it. What is that song about?
I'm not sure. He's so deep with the lyrics. But yeah, but like, okay, so does that you have to be a quote unquote conscious rapper to be a lyricist?
No, absolutely not.
Cause I've heard Quali say Lil Wayne is one of the best rappers ever to do it.
Well, then you also have the thing about where the quote-unquote lyricists, when you ask them what they listen to, all they tell you they listen to is Gucci Mane. And then you're like, wait, is Gucci a lyricist?
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, even Ghostface. Ghostface is a lyricist, but not in the traditional sense. He's a different kind of lyricist.
Yeah. So what does it mean? Yo, like, Ludacris is, like, sometimes, the, yo, I mean, back in the day, like, yo, Ludacris is the lyrics. And I'm like,
I know.
I don't think you're saying lyrics. I think you're saying delivery.
That's so funny you say. Ludacris is a great one to focus on.
Yeah.
Because there are people who think Ludacris is one of the nicest. And then I'm like, well, I really like Ludacris, but I do not hear that level that you're saying. I hear punchlines.
But I do hear how he flips the word structure and the rhyme schemes and all that.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. He's very interesting.
I love playing Ludacris music, but I never thought like, oh, he got the ill lyrics.
I'll tell you one thing, though. No, I agree. I'll tell you. And by the way, Jadakiss is another interesting one.
Yeah.
Because some people be like, Jadakiss, the absolute nicest. And then the next person will tell you, Jadakiss isn't the best in his own group.
Jadakiss never made a hit album.
Yeah, or that like, yeah, you love Jadakiss because of his voice and his punchlines, but he's not lyrical miracle. You know what I mean? He has the most charisma, but is he really the lyrical miracle, spherical, clerical, irical miracle?
Jadakiss, I've already decided Jadakiss is going to be my top five forever.
Really?
Jadakiss is one of my top fives forever, and he's not even my favorite in the group. I like Sheik more than any of them.
By the way, that's...
I love Sheik Loops.
Sife, you should change your... On your Twitter bio, you should add, I think Sheik Looch is the best member of the Lox to it.
I love...
Because it's
Looch
that unique
is,
a take.
Sheik Looch is incredibly underrated.
Well, first of all, you're saying his name wrong, because I'm reading it. I think his name is pronounced Sheik Louch.
I'm pretty... You ever saw the video I put of that?
No, you did a video about Sheik
Louch. Yeah, it was this white guy. I guess he reviews hip hop albums, and he was reviewing the Lox first album, Money, Power, Respect. And he was like, Jadakiss, Styles P, and Sheik Louch. And I go, how are you reviewing an album? You don't even know the guy's name. Just listen to the album. He says his name.
Right, he's going to say it.
But then that, I'll just sidebar, what Jadakiss did at the Verses.
I know.
I'm like, this guy is the great. He got the raps. He got the fucking showmanship. He took control of that whole situation. He murdered it. He fucking was funny when he fucking flicked Jewel's hat. Like, I'm like, oh, Jadakiss is the greatest ever do this.
He went up to a different level completely during that.
So, but whatever. So, Jadakiss is the type, yeah, he got so many raps that he never would even perform. He wouldn't even remember. If you were like, yo, do that joint with this guy, he would be like, I don't know that song. I wrote it. I never performed it. Whatever. So, who's the illest lyricist? Because, like, I guess Vlad was talking about the beef with the Mos Def and the Drake situation.
Oh, Vlad talked about that? No way.
So I don't know. Like, Mos Def, to me, you know, I listen to old Mos Def, and I'll hear somebody, oh shit, I never realized that's what he was saying. That's ill. Is it like poetry? Is lyrics like poetry? Is it Easter eggs? You get it later. I don't know.
Yo, this sounds like a Borat. This sounds like a Borat conversation or an Ali G conversation. Yo, what is lyrics? Like you sit down with Jadakiss, the first thing you say is, "Yo, we with Jadakiss right now." Yo, what is a lyric? Hey, let's go over to Patreon because you said you wanted to talk about French Montana.
We didn't answer this.
We're not. You think we're getting the answer in one day?
So we should go live.
To ask what lyrics are? Maybe
yeah,
we should.
What are lyrics? What is lyricism? And what's a lyricist in hip hop?
So maybe we should make this a real, like a planned live one app YouTube situation.
I would love that.
All right. Maybe we'll do that for next week. What do you think?
Sounds good to me.
What is
lyrics?
Yo, what is lyrics? Go to patreon.com/oneepislife. Do us a favor. Don't sign up for the free thing. You will get nothing. So you're going to want to sign up for the pay tiers.
Billy June, you have to fix it. No disrespect, everybody.
All right, so let me ask you a question, though. Here's the question. We agree that the tier should be $750, right?
$750. But then Billy June never turned off the $5 one.
But there's a $10 one too.
Never turn that off either.
So now if we turn them both off.
No, someone has to, a producer, someone who works for the show, has to individually hit these people and be like, hey, we're shutting this off. Miscommunication. Right. Everything is $750.
Because otherwise they're just going to
get cut off.
Well,
don't tell the $10 people that, but tell the $5 people.
Thought the same thing.
Shut off the $5 one. Hey, guys, you guys got over on us for a while. $5, thank you so much.
$5 over. No, listen, if you're rich out there and you want to give us $10 because you just want to give us an extra $2.50 a month, you're like, yo, man, let those guys live. We know the price of Taco Bell, a burrito went up from 99 cents back in the day to like $2.39, $3. We're going to give them an extra.
Patreon is $7.50. You want to tip us? Huh?
Great.
You want my Cash App? Use that $10 one.
Sife, maybe we should do one of those live things where we do like a character and when people tip us live, we're like, ice cream, yo, delicious. Bro, give us more.
Bro, the fucking TikTok lives where like someone's talking about like something serious, right? They're like, I can't believe Diddy disrespected these people. Diddy sexually assaulted. Oh, thank you for the flowers. Thank you for the flowers. Thank you. Listen, Diddy is a monster. He's disgusting. Hey, oh, thank you for the flowers, Mary. Mary, thank you for the flower, the gifts. Thank you.
That's a thing.
Oh my God, bro. It's ridiculous.
Have you seen the people who do the weird things where they're like, thank you for the ice cream. Delicious. Yum, yum, yum. You haven't seen that?
No, I haven't seen that.
You never seen Pinky Doll?
No.
Oh, so by the way, you should have seen it, not me, but someone showed it to me. I'm going to show it to you on the Patreon. Right, head over to Patreon. Patreon.com/OneEpisLife. And guys, this we're at the end of the month here. So this is that time when we randomly lose 50 people for whatever reason. So we hope we gain 50. We've been going up every month. And we hope you're enjoying what we're doing over here. We'll catch you on the Patreon. And go see Sife at Teehees in Des Moines, Iowa.
Oh, March 2nd, baby. Saturday in Des Moines. We're going to get that shit popping. White girls with sloppy white asses.
Wait, is that a song?
No, that's my new goal in life, to find those. I like the big sloppy ones.
All right, here we go. Stop. Stop.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.